Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
And a weekend where we figured out who will be playing in Super Bowl. Licks, Eagles, and Chiefs in New Orleans in a little under 2 weeks. Saw the Rockets have another great win over a top-of-the-line team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. They play the Celtics tonight, looking to keep that going. The Cougs had an improbable last-second double overtime victory over Kansas. But probably the biggest news of the weekend in Houston sports was that the Astros were able to get Ryan Presley to waive his no-trade clause. Presley was traded to the Chicago Cubs in exchange for $8.5 million of salary relief and for a reliever by the name of Juan Bello. They were about $3 million over the first luxury tax threshold before the trade. This gets them underneath that. And now the big question is, Joe, what's next? Does this mean that Alex Bregman is going to return to the Astros, which is something that was heavily hinted at by most baseball reporters leading up to the deal being made?
It should lead to at least a move of some kind, because it really, the closer we get to spring training, the more just like looking at like roster projections and or anything, or seeing people tweet out projected lineups that contain Dubon, McCormick, and Myers as your outfield is terrifying. If your goal was to get completely under, then congratulations. Like, they've done that. You're not over the tax. If that's all that Jim Crane cares about, then like, it's his business, right? I can question that the window's always open as long as you're the owner, as he said. But if that's his business and that's his prerogative and doesn't want to get taxed, like, that's fine. But they need to add another piece. And even if it's not Alex Bregman, they need at least one good outfielder, because right now they have zero.
They do not have any. You're right. At least that you would want to rely on. I mean, I like Mauricio Dubon, but he's more of a super utility player. I'd definitely rather have him in the outfield than, you know, Jake Myers swinging the bat on a game-to-game basis, even if Myers did have a little bit of a hot streak earlier this past season. I'm really curious as to if there's a next move, and I'm skeptical that there will be a next move, because I do think this is about them getting underneath the collective balance tax more than it is about getting extra space, because they're going to have to go back over the collective balance tax to bring in Bregman. And while it's at least implied by some who are familiar with his thinking that Jim Crane would be willing to go over it for a specific, and I believe this was the term used by Chandler Rome, cherry on top, Bregman would qualify here. But have you heard anything about the Astros potentially upping their offer even slightly for Bregman from the deal that's been on the table for a while, 6 years and about $156 million. I have not seen anything. And I mean, the latest reporting from Will Kunkel, Fox 26, is that it's doubtful that a move for Bregman is going to be made. And Joe, perhaps putting a tinfoil hat on here for a moment, I wonder if the Astros got caught with their pants down here. And I say from this perspective, Presley was a very convenient fall guy to not bring Bregman back. Mm-hmm. And with the reporting that was being done about how these two moves are linked, a potential Presley move and bringing Bregman back, I wonder if the Astros got caught with their pants down a little bit here, because I think they might have believed Presley was never going to waive that no-trade clause because his wife wants to stay here in Houston.
Interesting.
And they definitely peer pressured him into accepting it, and I understand that some people are saying, oh, the writing was on the wall. True, but I mean, he did have the no-trade clause that was in his contract because he's played the necessary years to actually get that stipulation. So you wonder, okay,
Did they think that this was never actually going to cross the finish line? Because this would have been the most convenient scapegoat to have for not bringing back Bregman. Now it's back on the Astros. And the only way for them to make people maybe look the other way and say, like, hey, like, why are you not able to bring back Alex Bregman? Is it really because of Jose Abreu contracts? Is it really because of Rafael Montero contracts? A Josh Hader contract?
Especially when those two contracts, like, it only penalizes you for 1 year. Like, it's not like Montero and Abreu are under contract or the money that is owed to them is on the books for the next three seasons of Alex Bregman's potential six-year deal. You get out of all of that stuff at the end of the year. Framber Valdez will probably be off the team after this season. Like, as much as people are talking about the collective bargaining tax and, like, the implication it has on the Astros, I think it's a really, honestly, just, like, a lame excuse because it's not a problem next year. I mean, they're going to have money before you know it. Like, so Presley, Montero, Abreu, Framber, Tucker are all gone. And now you've brought in Christian Walker, who makes a good chunk of change, and Isak Paredes, who makes a good chunk, but they're not expensive players. And we all know they're not giving $22 million to Framber Valdez next year.
Correct.
Like, we all know that. Like, no matter what happens in this move or not, like, they're not going to pay him. Like, I don't personally, and this is, like, I'm not convinced that, like, next offseason the Astros aggressively spend to get close to the CBT. Like, right now they're trying to get away from it. Like, I hope I'm wrong. But we'll see. I mean, the only report we got that was about the Astros upping their offer wasn't a report. Jeremy Booth alluded to the fact that the Astros have done it. But at this point, no one has, you know, come back and said they've increased that number. So, yeah, I don't believe Bregman's going to be back. And I hope I'm wrong. But
this was Astros GM Dana Brown Friday with Ari Alexander. He was asked if the Astros would be willing to go over that collective balance tax threshold.
Yeah, so here's what I would say, and I've said this a few times, that Jim Crane has always been about putting good product on the field and, you know, getting to the postseason and trying to go deep into the postseason and the ultimate goal of winning the World Series. So, you know, look, I think Jim will go over to CBT if he has to. If there's, we feel like, look, this makes a fit and it makes sense. You know, so he's always shown that he's dedicated to do that. I'm not saying we're going to do it this year, but I think, you know, Jim Crane will do it if he thinks it's a good move for the club and long term. It's a fit.
I mean, he's right. I mean, Jim Crane has. So I think we have to take him for his word out of it. But, like, do you believe that Alex Bregman's worth it? Is kind of what that question has now turned into. Because Josh Hader was worth it. Zach Greinke was worth it. We know from reporting that Jim Crane thought Starling Marte was worth it, even though the Astros didn't get that deal done. So what Dana Brown basically just told us is that, well, Jim Crane has to decide if Alex Bregman's worth it or not.
I think he's worth it.
I think he is too.
I think he's worth it from a just clubhouse presence perspective, from a very few people are as smart from a baseball perspective as him. And on top of that, it makes your lineup better. And yeah, you're going to perhaps be pretty crappy on defense in certain spots. Say you have to move Jose Altuve to left field or there's other tinkering that goes on. Maybe Isak Paredes gets moved to left field. Again, I don't know. All I know is you've kind of put yourself in a situation where if you do not bring him back after making this move where you traded Ryan Presley for minimal salary relief, you're going to look bad.
Well, you just need it, and you're just not going to be as good as you can be.
Yes.
Not as good as you can be. And to acquire, there were players available this offseason that you could have pursued, but you chose not to because of this arbitrary number that you don't are not willing to go past.
For the total years of a salary, right? Because they never offer more than six. And hey, maybe there would have been somebody that they actually could go after and actually afford on top of all of that. I don't know the answer to that necessarily, but what I do know is Jim Crane can't say, as you heard from Dana Brown there, that the window is always open and you can't buy into the idea that he'll always spend if after making this move with Ryan Presley, when it's heavily implied that it is a move made to help you bring Alex Bregman back. If you don't bring him back, you look bad. Not to the national media. Like I see the tweets like, oh, it's the national media. No, 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 no. And we've talked about Presley getting strong-armed into accepting this and waiving his no-trade clause, which I do think is a bad look by the Astros. But no, they will look bad to all of us because we will be watching the product and they will not be as good as they were last year if that is someone that they are missing. I get it that they've added some pieces this year and maybe those guys are going to be great at Minute Maid Park or, excuse me, Daikin Park, my bad, and working with Astros pitching staff but and coaches. But they'll look bad if they made this trade just to save $8.5 million.
Yeah, I kind of hate the way baseball operates around this, like in general. Like you have teams that want to get below it. You have teams that don't want to spend. Then you have the Dodgers who, of course, just spend so much money, do not care what is in front of them. But like also like with Bregman coming back too, you also defensively are the best corner infield. What you lack in the outfield, you now make up for at third and first. And you have a three-time straight Gold Glove winner at first base. We know how elite Alex Bregman is at third base. You would think that Isak Paredes can play well. We know Jeremy Payne is a pretty good shortstop. I mean, as weak as your outfield is, you have the best infield maybe in baseball if you bring Alex Bregman back. So, like, while you have weaknesses, you also have massive strengths at other spots. So, I it's not my money. I can't make him spend it. But to walk into this offseason because of a handful of million dollars and not be able to, you know, sign a better piece, it seems like a huge mistake for me. I just don't understand why you wouldn't do it. And if Alex Bregman's sitting there, I mean, they are lucking into the idea of Alex Bregman still being a free agent. So I just think it makes so much sense. I don't really get why people would be against it. Except for all the Astros fans who trashed the hell out of Alex Bregman.
Yeah, stay on that side.
And are now trying to come
back
around.
Stay on that side.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, wasn't
there? There's a lot of
the day after Christian Walker signed. Yeah.
It's like, we didn't need him anyways. He's on decline. And now they're back down trying to get Alex Bregman back on the team.
I think if you're
traitor,
specifically what I think, Paul, you mentioned the Jim Crane, the window's always open comment. That's what makes me think that Jim Crane is willing to go over the CBT for Alex Bregman is because that comment and because, frankly, he's just someone who's done it before on the Astros. It would be different if it was an Alex Bregman-level player, if all the same things of Alex Bregman, but it's a guy who played on the Royals for the last 7-8 years instead of a guy who's been in the clubhouse for the Astros all this time. That, I mean, we see it that he treats Justin Verlander differently than he would treat a normal 39, 40-year-old pitcher. That there's certain guys that obviously are going to get special treatment, honestly, rightfully so, for most of the guys that get this kind of treatment. And I think that's what's ultimately going to lead, at least the Astros being competitive in the Alex Bregman market until he signs. It could also ultimately still come down to they're not willing to go, you know, $30 million for 2 years, and the Cubs or the Red Sox or whoever are willing to do that. They could still get beat, but I do think that there is interest, legitimate interest.
Yeah, it's interesting, like, if there's going to be, like, a bidding war that's finally taking place here. Like, after all this time in which the Tigers, Red Sox, Cubs, Yankees, Astros,
they
could have just paid them, but, like, now all of a sudden it's like...
I don't think it'll be a bidding war the same way. I think it might be a bidding war in the 2-year, like, pillow contract type of, like, can we do 31? Can we do 3 years with opt-outs? Like, I think it would be more, it would be a different type of negotiation. It's not going to be, can we do 160 million? Can we do 170? That he would have already signed if those deals were going to happen.
And you're at the point now in the auction where you're just like hoping that
you're hoping to get a deal.
The clock expires. No, yeah. I think they're just like, well, hopefully in the next 16 days, no one makes an offer. I think that's their strategy.
Yeah, no one gets more desperate. Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like anyone's going to get more desperate, which is rather surprising. But I guess the teams that, you know, you're competing with, because the Mets pulled out over the weekend.
Yeah. Mets pulled out.
It's just Detroit, Boston, and Toronto, I think.
And Chicago. The Cubs.
The Cubs are in it. Okay.
And even like, I heard, Toronto, I think
Cubs North or Astros North.
If he goes to the Cubs, we might have to become a Chicago Cubs show. Just like, or at least a Cubs segment.
I mean, there'll be like,
I'll be a Steve Barton.
Right now, there are two guys from the 2022 team on the Cubs. The over under has to be at least 2.5, because they're looking at Maton and Stanek still.
Oh my!
So God. Like, they're basically just like,
who's their GM?
It's Jed Hoyer. I don't know why he's obsessed with the 2022 Astros, yeah. But like,
Hector Neris coming to come back?
No, I don't think he needs to come back. Is he still on the Astros?
I actually do not know.
I assume either. He was on a 1-year deal. When yeah, he came.
I think Maton and Stanek will be Cubs.
That would be really fun.
Wow, that is. They just have the 22 bullpen. Yeah. Minus Rafael Montero. They can still have him if they're
you know what? Declined.
If they're interested on behalf of Jed Hoyer.
Yes.
If they were to trade Rafael Montero, realistically, how much?
A punch in the face. That's what they get back.
How much of his salary would they get the other team to pay? Like, what do you think?
5%. Like, no, actually $1. Like a token, like $1.
I mean, he is owed, was $11.5 million this year? So if Presley is worth $8.5 million, Montero's worth three.
2 million. What's the minimum?
They're gonna
like the minimum.
They're gonna have to eat $8.5 million to save $3.5 million.
It would be really funny if they like they've agreed to pay $1 million of his $29 million
I mean,
contract.
Trading Ryan Presley opens the door, since we like doors here now in Houston.
It's right? A jar. That's for sure.
It opens the door for Rafael Montero to have a good spring training.
Oh my God!
And be in the bullpen.
Oh my God.
Stop.
He's on the roster.
Cool.
You don't think he's going to be on the opening day
hard
roster?
Pass.
The Sugarland one? I hope so.
Yeah. Even that. I don't know if I want him on the Sugarland.
Just that close.
Face Cowboys. Listen, this
door
is
open.
That's a 3-time champion in one season. Do we want Rafael Montero being something?
To be fair, he only won two of those championships. He was still on the Astros when the first half championship.
Gotcha. He didn't get the first half championship.
Yeah, so he's only a 2-time.
Does he get two T-shirts?
Two rings?
Two rings? How does that work?
I still don't know like how many like things they got for all these awards.
Let's ask Cooper Hummel.
Honorary Aggie ring?
No, I don't think you want that.
That's
why not? They got a diamond in them.
Too expensive.
I took a look at them this weekend. Marathon girl, she showed it to me, and I was like, okay, so there is a diamond in. I had no idea that there was a diamond in the Aggie rings until literally this weekend.
So
and
she
I was like,
doesn't
okay.
Just wear it.
No, she wears it
every day.
They all wear it every day. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah. If you don't, that's what they.
Why are you looking at me?
I mean, I don't wear my wedding ring every day.
That's what they got the core on.
That's
campus for.
That's you and your mayor. No, I'm just. Now I don't wear my wedding ring every day.
Man. I forget it sometimes.
They're more committed.
Damn,
they're committed. They're more committed to the 12th man than you are to your marriage, and that's fine.
Yeah,
all right, that's fine.
Sleazy Joe here.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton over here.
I don't ever get in trouble for things that happen on the radio. I might get in trouble. For
yeah, no.
Yeah,
this one
I was
bad. I was
feel
bad giving you a hard time.
Fair,
for this.
I actually no. I remember no. What am I talking about?
You volunteered that.
I'm fine. I bought her a new wedding ring because she lost hers.
Ooh, but now
you have the upper hand.
But now you're shaming her for losing her ring. That's not good teamwork.
Yeah, but now we found it, so we have two, just in case.
Just in case.
That's
really funny that you found it.
No, she has two. I have one.
Is the original or the
she found
new
the
one better?
No, the new one's better.
The new one's better?
Yeah, the original had like a small crack in it. So.
Gotcha. She's got to wear both of them at the same time.
That's what I said.
It's just double.
Just blinged out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Flavor Flav.
But, you know.
Wear it around your necklace.
So how's Marathon Girl?
Yeah, she's good. We had fun yesterday. Watched the game at Athro Flint.
Mm. Wait, which game?
It was the second half of Commanders Eagles.
First half of
Chiefs.
I was thinking Saturday with the U of H game.
No, Saturday was a blur.
Oh, there also was an A&M game this weekend. Didn't they choke this
weekend? Oh, Joe,
why'd you have to bring that up?
Well, he said they watched the game.
We were going to save that for in case you missed it. That's not nice.
Well, people will forget about it. We'll remember it's
tomorrow. Dude, I'm not kidding. Like, so a lot of the group that I was with on Sunday, these are Aggies, and like they don't know me that well yet because I'm like the newcomer to the group. I'm hanging out with just her and her friends. And I saw this, like I had finally seen the score and what happened in the Texas versus Texas A&M game. And I read it on my phone aloud. I was like, whoa, did you see what happened in this game? And then I looked up and I was like, oh, damn, I shouldn't have brought that up.
They're still the 13th team in the country.
Still.
They might have dropped
you blow
a
22-point lead against Texas.
That's not great.
When you're a basketball school now, and Texas is not a basketball school.
Where I
lose the like poor man's Gus Fring.
Yeah, again, where I'm not watching this game and I see the score alert. And my first thought is, did Rodney Terry just buy himself an extra year? Did Rodney Terry just not get fired? Well, I was watching Flight Risk on a Saturday afternoon.
Nice. Did you like it?
No. I mean, I liked it, but it's not good.
I saw The Equalizer on Saturday, and I got to say, Equalizer, any Denzel movie where he is beating people up, even though he's probably like 65 in that movie,
yeah,
or is supposed to be 65, like it is very believable him just killing the bejesus out of everybody.
Yeah.
There's very few actors that could still pull that off, even as an old man. Like Arnold is obviously one of them, and maybe Sylvester Stallone, I guess, because of what they were back in the day. But like, damn, I'll watch any Denzel movie just hoping that he kills someone.
Yeah. I watched Midway.
Including Gladiator 2.
I watched Midway this weekend.
Midway.
It's about the battle after Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Nice.
It's just on Netflix. I finished Squid Game.
You did.
I hated the ending.
Why?
No spoilers.
Why'd you hate it?
Because there's only 7 episodes. I just feel like cheated.
Well, this is another season.
Wait, 3 more years for another episode or what? Another season?
No, it's supposed to be next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's not going to be that. I mean, look, last season was last year, I think, too. Wasn't it?
No, I think it was like 2 years ago.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, this is riveting radio. Hey, when did that show air? I don't know.
Last year? Year before?
Hey, I watched this movie over the weekend.
When did the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs? Never?
Ooh.
Ah,
got him.
Damn. You killed him, dude.
Bazinga.
Speaking of, guys, speaking of Bazinga, Bazinga. It's the new hit game that's sweeping America. I'm just kidding. I was trying to turn that into something.
New segment alert.
Where are we going?
This segment has crashed harder than
that plane at the end of Flight Risk. No spoilers.
That's true. No spoilers. Everyone died. It's gruesome.
No, I don't actually want to spoil.
Everyone
this
died.
Terrible movie.
It was a pretty bad movie, but it was an enjoyable watch. Anyway, conference championship weekend is in the books. Is the NFL rigged in favor of the Chiefs? And should you appreciate their majesty like some want you to? Galan and George, stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
Back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
This is the latest on Alex Bregman for John Heyman about 20 minutes ago. The Astros are trying to bring back Alex Bregman. They're still waiting to do that $156 million deal over 6 years. But one reason Bregman declined is it's a cut from his $28.5 million salary. Supposedly, there's another team offering a similar deal for 6 years, but it has a opt-out after 1 year. Cubs, Red Sox, Tigers, all sniffing around, Joe.
Okay, so if you just bump them back to $28.5 million, it turns into a 6 years, $171 million deal. So you just saved $8.5 million by getting rid of Ryan Pressly. So you have to spend $7 million more? Like, you're going to let $1.5 million a year stop you from getting... Like, if that's really like what the bar is...
Is that what it is?
I mean, I don't know.
You worked that math out pretty quick.
I did some... I calculated.
Okay, gotcha.
I calculated.
Okay, cool.
So it's not that much money we're talking about here. Like, if that's really part of the reason why he declined... I would think the Astros would be willing to bump that up just a little bit. Like, you're really not costing yourself that much money. The team offering a 6-year deal with a 1st-year opt out is interesting because it's good for the player, and I would say it's also good for the team. Like, even if Alex has a terrible year in Boston or Detroit or Houston, and he has this opt out. I can't imagine like you would still be that upset if he stayed here for the next 5 years after that, because you would think he would rebound. Like, you're not going to think he's going to be a disaster, even if he has one bad year or 1 year where he gets hurt. But Jim Crane doesn't really do a lot of that stuff. I mean, I don't think any of the Astros players recently have gotten one of these opt-outs. So I'm curious like how they would handle that, because my gut tells me is they would say no to it, as they would say either you're here or you're not.
I think they should be willing to do it.
I'd
What's
be fine.
One more year? Totally. I've suggested this too. Like the one year contract, give him something that's for 1 year, maybe more than he would get on an annual basis. If you are making a move and getting rid of a player and getting basically nothing in return for it except for half of his salary covered, that's not enough. Like there needs to be a follow up to this. And it's not to say that they're going to miss Ryan Presley. Presley's lost a step. Maybe he recovers some of that in the National League. The odds are he probably won't. But you made this move to cut salary space. And if you're not going to use it, and you're not even changing what your offer is to Bregman, which is what it sounds like, what was the point of this? Why were you telling the reporter, who clearly you communicate with, that this was linked to that? That Bregman and Presley are intertwined in what happens next with them?
I don't know, because it's not like it's like your fans are going to give you an A for trying. Like, I think everyone was kind of over it. Like, everyone was settled on the fact that Alex Bregman was gone, and Paredes is at third, and Walker's at first, and you traded Kyle Tucker, and, like, that's just, like, it is what the offseason was. So it's not like this is, like, a PR win by telling them that. I mean, maybe the reports are – I mean, I know Dana Brown himself called it a long shot. But that was after, like, 3 minutes of talking about wanting him back and doors being open and conversations happening – and then he goes, it's a long shot. Like, I don't think they would really be engaging in these conversations if they didn't think they had a realistic shot of getting him. And I know the reports are mostly negative after that, but like your family is probably just going to be more pissed, if anything, now.
Yeah.
Like, if he's not back.
You've boxed yourself into a corner where you have to bring him back, and you used to have plausible deniability in not getting him back because you were clearly making it seem like Ryan Presley was in the way of you bringing back Bregman.
It goes back to the Jose Altuve quote from one of the fan fests. I forgot if it was Saturday or Friday. From Ari Alexander, Jose Altuve thought at the beginning of the offseason Bregman was definitely staying. Then he lost all hope. Now he's in the middle. That's basically what the fan base did too, and the fan base was ready at lost all hope to go, huh, okay. You know, that's when, like Joe said, the pitchforks randomly came out for Alex Bregman, and, you know, which is somewhat natural for fan bases to do, where a guy isn't going to come back, the good, we don't need him, get it, greedy. And now the Astros have put it out there that's at least a possibility that he comes back, and now if he does leave, it's even worse than it would have been if he would have signed signed 2 months ago, or if he would have signed without all this leakage from the Astros.
That's the next fall guy, Alex Bregman. Once again, oh, he's too greedy.
Yeah, I don't know. I think people will, fans will look towards Crane here.
I think some will, but generally, fans always side with the team.
Normally,
as you're seeing earlier today, when I was saying, like, they shamed Ryan Presley into waiving his no trade clause. He earned the no trade clause for better or for worse. And again, like, I'd rather him not be on this team, but all he got in return is $8.5 million. And you were very clearly, just, it's so transparent with the way that the reporting was happening. Like, well, this, if they make this happen, they could get Alex Bregman. Like, everyone was doing it. Clearly, they were trying to put some pressure on him to say, like, hey, bro, read the room. And I think it's a kind of crappy way to send out a guy who was a key part of your team. So you did all this to do something, and if you do nothing out of it, I mean, yeah. But all that said, people will still side with the team. As you were seeing in our comments section, they're like, oh, yeah, Presley's not good anymore, which is true.
Yeah,
still.
There's an element of, like, gotta get, if you don't think Presley's good anymore, just you got to get the job done to cut the $7 million that you're saving. Or, no, $8 million that you're saving. You'd like, you got it. It's not show friends. It's show business. Like, you gotta. It's a business. We gotta. However, if we hurt his feelings on the way out, so be it.
If you're, but if listen.
But then you need a follow through.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're gonna be an a-hole and cutthroat, good. Do something while doing it, though. Like, doing it for the sake of, like, saving $8.5 million. Like, you just shame. You're like, yeah, we don't want to pay you, dude. Even though we gave you this deal and you won a World Series for us. Yeah, even though we paid Rafael Montero and Jose Abreu and Lance McCullers and all the guys who aren't playing anymore.
And then sign someone over top of you.
Exactly. Josh Hader. We just brought him in. And by the way, Hader wasn't even that good with all the money he was getting this past season. You look like an a-hole. So if you're going to look like an a-hole, at least do something that an a-hole does, which is win at the end of the day. You know, if you're a big business swinging your thing around, like, let's see the next move. And maybe it's going to happen. I am skeptical that it will. I feel like they have played this elaborate game of like meat shield.
Yeah.
And they're running out of meat shields.
Yeah, they've really done a good job of kind of protecting themselves. Because like even like the early conversations about Bregman were about like they would always use the word pivot. Like we have to pivot. We have to have a plan if Alex Bregman can't sign. And then it was like, well, they're going to do Presley. They're going to trade Presley and then bring in Bregman. And then the goalpost is going to move again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's – I just think if you're going to go after Bregman, then just go all in. Like, I don't see the point in the half-assed effort.
I actually think this is so funny because the Bregman plan ends with probably Jose Altuve playing left field. But I think I like the effort we're doing Bregman instead of a, well, okay, now we freed up $8 million. Let's go spend $8 million on a left fielder. Like, for some reason, that's a worse plan than let's just go full hog and yeah, who cares? Jose Altuve, you're gonna have to learn how to play left field. Like that to me, it makes more sense of because you're getting like demonstrably better as far as one of your lineup spots by taking out whichever the third outfielder is and putting in Bregman as opposed to taking out whatever the third outfielder is. And yeah, this person does play outfield, but they're not that much better than Dubon, McCormick, Myers, whoever.
I don't think those guys even exist. Like who are you going to get now? You've waited all offseason to fix it. Like, Dylan Carlson signed today. It's a 200.
Dylan Carlson.
It's not Dylan Carlson.
It's a 200 hitter who's going to get paid less than $1 million this season. Like that's what's left on the market. And Alex Bregman. Like there's just this giant, expensive player
either spending
sitting on the
$30
market.
Million or four.
And that's why I'm still surprised. Like, they're even saying that the 156.8 might not cut it. Like, he's really has offers that are better than that, that are out there. Like, still, this offseason, he hasn't signed one yet. Like, Scott Boras, you suck at your job. Like,
yeah. Oh, are we circling back at Wasp?
Yeah, for sure. And I know other people are trying to steal it and, you know, make it their own. But, you know, I had it first.
Who's stealing it?
I heard there was part of the afternoon show that they didn't use the word washed. But they were going down the same path.
Oh.
I said it first.
Damn. The vendetta.
Like a year ago, I said it first.
The vendetta against your old teammates.
Yeah.
Who are still technically your teammates.
Yeah, I was going to say, somehow the afternoon show in the city that you had the vendetta against is at the station you still work at.
There's no vendetta.
Can you at least, call them by their name? Because that is a show on our station from 3 to 6.
I'm not the Killer Bees. I don't know which one stole it, but I just know one of them.
Damn, it's like you don't even listen to them anymore.
Well, yeah, you should have been listening.
What the heck, man?
Drive back home.
I listen later.
I listen to every second of the radio.
Yeah.
Every day.
And your 1.5 mile walk to and from work every day?
Yeah, dude.
Uphill in the snow.
Yeah. I'm built different. And yeah, some people, you know, we're about the Gal Media brand. Are you Joe?
I am.
Are you Joe?
I listen all the time.
Yeah. That doesn't sound serious.
I had to listen quite a bit.
Hmm.
Now it sounds like you're complaining. Yeah, I have to listen to quite a bit of the station.
Yeah. That's what I heard there.
No, I just,
unbelievable.
Yeah. Eye roll.
Pick and choose my spots.
Oh, boy. So the conference championship games, one of them, a blowout, that game was over as soon as it began. The Eagles 50 burger, the Washington Commanders with 7 rushing touchdowns and a 55-23 victory. 7 rushing touchdowns. Good God. The Commanders 3 fumbles, 9 penalties. Jaden Daniels inaccurate. But the big game's the AFC Championship game. And the Chiefs, guess what? They're back in the Super Bowl after beating the Bills again in the playoffs. 32-29. A game that I feel like the Chiefs did outplay the Bills. I felt like the Bills were trying their best to stay in there, as evidenced by the fact that they went for 6 fourth downs in the game. 6 fourth downs.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen, like, I'm not blaming Josh Allen for this game.
Allen could have played better.
Of course,
but he didn't. But like, for all the fumbles the Bills had, which was 5, they recovered all of them. They did some things pretty well in this game, but ultimately, I find myself siding with Chiefs fans who, Joe, you now despise. Because I feel like it's disingenuous to say that the referees are the reason that the Chiefs won. And I kind of get how all of a sudden this has become the norm in the NFL, especially given the way that last week went, whether it was, you know, us yelling about the calls that happened in the Texans-Chiefs game. Many people that were doing it nationally. But, I mean, for God's sakes, like on Get Up, you had Kevin Hart coming in studio and like making fun of how you properly sack Patrick Mahomes. And somebody like picked him up. They put a pillow underneath him. They put a blanket on him. They read a bedtime story. It was actually pretty funny. But it led to this, like, oh, well, the referees are always helping the Chiefs out. And there are certainly some Chiefs fans who are doing gymnastics and saying, wait a second, that's not actually the case. And some of them actually did a pretty good job of doing a defense there. But now, all of a sudden, we have gone from saying, like, hey, the Texans got sacked 8 times and played poorly on special teams. The Bills made some really boneheaded decisions offensively in this game against Kansas City, forgetting about James Cook entirely, running these awful quarterback sneak plays over and over again. You can even second guess, like, hey, what was the play call? One, on the 2-point conversion that you didn't get, where I don't know what you were thinking. Like, I don't mind going for 2 there, but you failed there. What were you thinking on that 4th and 5 where you have no one to protect? Like,
exactly.
I get that it's fun to hate the Chiefs. It's annoying to see the same team win over and over again. People felt that way about the Astros. People felt that way about the Patriots. The Warriors, like, insert team. Like, I get that. But they won that game fair and square. Like, were there some calls that perhaps benefited the Chiefs? Yes. Are those calls the reason that the Chiefs won that game? I don't think so.
No. I mean, when did the controversial play happen? Was that in, like, the 3rd quarter? I can't remember when it happened.
The Allen play?
Yeah.
The sneak?
Yeah. I think that was the
6 minutes to go in the 4th quarter.
Yeah. Okay.
But, right after a 4th and 1 that they had barely converted where Josh Allen fumbled.
But, like, the Bills had a lead in the 4th. I mean, of all the ref stuff and everything, the Bills had a lead in the 4th. And Joe Burrow has had a lead in the 4th quarter against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. The defense let him down. Like you can – if this was a 10-7 game and that play happened, like, you could probably make an argument for the refs. But the Bills' defense wasn't good enough yesterday. They made the Chiefs' offense look better than it's looked the entire season. It's never looked as crisp as it did yesterday. The wide receiver specifically involved. And Travis Kelce was pretty much, besides taunting, was nothing.
Yeah, he didn't do
anything. Which also people are like all upset about too. That like he was taunting. And yes, it probably should have been a flag, but like now we're asking for taunting penalties. Like softies.
He can be annoying.
Yes, for sure.
But there's this weird thing that's been happening now, and I don't like it. It's people making excuses when like the Bills just they played a worse game than they've played against the Chiefs the last couple of times they've been in the playoffs.
Yeah, and for, like, the people, like earlier with some people in the chat, like, arguing with us and trying to be like, oh, of course these guys are going to defend the Chiefs. All right, I'll break it down. I'll make it really, really simple. For the people that are so adamant that the referees and the NFL is rigging it, just remember, you now sound like the people that still are accusing the Astros of using trash cans. Like, that's what you sound like. People that we've called idiots for 5 years now, basically, that don't know what they're talking about, that know nothing about the Houston Astros because they're not a cheating baseball team. So the people who are still so adamantly rigged, you now sound like Yankees fans. Congratulations. Like, that's what's happening. It is so obnoxious and wrong. Go Eagles.
Go Birds. Go Birds. The 4th and 1 in particular, I've watched that play over and over again. And like, I get why the ref on the far side of the field thought that he had the first down, but he had no view. There's no way he saw what happened. We couldn't see what happened because Chris Jones was standing in the way. You think a guy that's sitting that's on at the field level can see how far he went? And then from the near side of the field, the guy who marked him short had a pretty good view of it. The problem is Allen and the football, you're not sure what arm it's in, and his back is to the referee on that side. But I watched that replay a couple of times. I do not know that that ball definitively passed the line. I know a lot of people think it did, and I'm sure they've watched it over and over again. I went into it looking for proof that he had actually gotten it because everyone was acting so sure about it. And he almost gets there, and then he jerks back very quickly, and it was on the second effort. I don't think he got it.
See, like, and I think he did. Like, it's not definitive.
My gut instinct was, I don't think he got it. And I remember seeing that at first. I was like, wow, they gave him a generous spot in the moment. And then they took it back. And then I watched the replay and I felt more confused.
Yeah.
And sure, technology needs to be worked on here. But hey, like, the Bills were fighting and clawing to get first downs and forgetting entirely that they had James Cook. They didn't give James Cook the ball the entire last drive when they had three timeouts and 3:30 to go. Guy was averaging 6 yards a carry. And they could have used James Cook in that situation instead of this quarterback sneak, which is just so poorly run.
Yeah, I know there have been some people like who have like pushed in the offseason about like getting rid of the tush push. I think it's stupid. The Eagles just do it so much better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Other teams can try to run it, but there's also a reason why very few teams try. Like the Texans don't run it. The Ravens don't run it. Like you don't see a lot of these teams do it. You have to have a huge quarterback to try to be successful with it. But like, I don't really, I'd like to get rid of it just because it's boring. That whole sequence in the Eagles game was boring. And I noticed it got kind of funny as Luvu's jumping off sides and jumping over people. It's still not a real football play to me. That's why I don't
know. No, like it is. It is a football play. What are you
it's
talking about?
It's a rugby play. It's a scrum.
Yeah.
It's
football needs that.
If you could see what was happening.
No, football needs that.
It's just a bunch of bodies.
No, this is like you want Arena League.
I don't play flag
football. No,
I don't love it.
From the 832, Paul siding with the Chiefs is the most patriot things to say. I want the Chiefs to be stopped. I don't want them coming for God. Okay? Gary's got a thought. 713-780-3776 before we get out of here. Gary, yo.
Hey, first off, guys, I agree with you guys. I don't think he made it. It was just close. Whatever they called on the field, I think they would have stuck with that Josh Allen, whatever they called. So I don't think he made it either. It depends on what you're looking at. But on that, I find it ironic that Jalen Hurts, hear me out, guys. First things first, put up a beautiful graphic. Now, 2 years ago, I don't think there's only but one person that's probably a Hall of Famer that Hurst played with, and that's Jason Kelce, the center. 2 years ago that Hurst played with. This year, obviously, Saquon Barkley, eventually. But in the last three seasons, they put that set up with Kansas City. Not the Super Bowls, 48-10 for Kansas City, 42-12 for the Eagles, 25.5 points a game for Kansas City, 27.5 for the Eagles. Completion percentage, 67% Mahomes, 66% Hurts. Couple more. 290 total yards per game for Kansas City, 280 for the Eagles, 117-43 TD to turnover for Mahomes, 121-39 for Hurts. 98-yard pass away.
Okay, Mahomes. Gary, sorry to cut you off. Let's get to the point here. We got to get out soon.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, because I don't call it out. Thank you. We listen to you guys, and I just thought it was a show that we can.
No,
see.
I think
by putting those stats, yes, sir. Putting those stats up there, I think how people perceive a quarterback is supposed to look and be, because those stats, outside of Mahomes, he's second in three seasons, and 2 seasons ago, he didn't have Saquon Barkley. He had Kelce in the tush push, and no Hall of Fame.
That's true. Gary, we're out of time, so appreciate the phone call. Okay. Look, Jalen Hurts, had he not had last year, and had he won that Super Bowl, we would be talking about him the same way that we talk about Patrick Mahomes, which I think is where Gary was eventually getting to.
Yes, I agree. I think that's where he's going. I think.
Gary, we love you. Sorry, it's the 2:55. This is a tough time to make a phone call. Anyway, on that note, that was garbage time very quickly. No, Gary's call wasn't garbage, okay? It's just garbage that the show has to end so soon. What a fun show it was. Big thanks to our texters, callers, YouTubers, and Twitchers. For Sean Mace, for Joe George, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views. and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.